Are you ready, Alabama? You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong! We're strong! We're strong!
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
And welcome back, everybody, to hour number two of the Tom Abraham Show. Obviously, once again, not Tom Abraham, but I am Tony Mack, the producer of the show and now fill-in host. Been pretty much a dream come true. It's what I went into school for. So I'm making the best of it. And I've gotten the opportunity to talk just about everything I've wanted to talk about ever. I mean, we got to talk all kinds of NBA action. We talked some of the NHL playoffs, which I'm still learning quite a bit about. And we even got to talk to Anthony Dasher about the Georgia spring game. So now we're going to jump in and we're going to continue this Football Friday. We're going to continue that on. We're going to jump into the NFL schedules. The big boys of football, the pros, we're going to the NFL. And I'm obviously not going to tackle this by myself. I'm joined by Sean Mraz, DA's producer. And we all know DA, we all know and love DA. So why don't you help me welcome him in. Sean, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on? How's everything in Alabama today?
It's very Alabama-like. raining when the sun is absolutely just shining through. You know, typical, never know what you're going to get.
Interesting. Well, we're still dealing with 50 degrees here in New York, so I'd much rather be with you guys with the sun shining and the rain.
Hey, that's a fair point. That's a very fair point. You're coming on here to help me. You said you were a big geek when it comes to this NFL schedule stuff, right?
I cannot get enough. I love the idiosyncrasies. I love, you know, examining the prime times, the Thanksgiving. I you know, back-to-backs, West Coast trips. I can't get enough of the NFL schedule.
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm looking at it right now, and I preparing for the show yesterday when they told me, hey, you're going to get it for the 2-hour short edition. I started doing this segment, and I had a blast. I sat there, I could cover this whole hour talking to you about this stuff. It's just you can do so much with it. You know, you don't have to just sit here and rattle off who's playing week one, who's playing week two. You can have fun with it, and that's what we're about to do. You ready to have some fun?
Let's have some fun.
All right, so week one, there are three pretty good games, and I want you to rate them in order of best game. You can start with the worst as far as these three are concerned, or however you want to do it. But rank week one's three best games. You got the Chiefs going to New England to take on the Patriots. You got the Giants once again in Dallas in week one.
Oh, enough of that game.
And then, right, and then Seattle going to Lambeau Field to take on the Packers.
Okay, so for me, the worst has to be the Chiefs at the Pats because, yeah. You know what? I know we'll get pumped up for that first game. The Patriots sitting at home. Tom Brady didn't get to play his opener last week, didn't start till week five. I feel like that game's actually going to be non-competitive. I know as good as Kansas City's defense is, the Patriots will be licking their chops to raise another banner and host the Chiefs, and I think they'll take care of Kansas City. I think it comes down to the NFC games because I think the NFC conference is stronger top to bottom, and I'll give Giants-Cowboys the number two ranking and deduct points because how many times do we have to see the Giants open up in Dallas to start the year over the last 7 years? And for me, the best has to be Packers-Seahawks, which has become a pseudo-rivalry of sorts over the last few years, dating back to that Fail Mary Monday night game and then, of course, the NFC Championship game. And Bowles should be right back in the thick of things in the NFC again. So for me, that'll be a Buck and Aikman late-window Fox game. Give me that for game of the week.
Absolutely. I got to agree with you there. And I think that the Giants-Dallas and Chiefs-Patriots are close based on what you said. I mean, you got to deduct points. We've seen this over and over again with Giants and Dallas. You know, it's
almost becoming as traditional as the Cowboys hosting a game on Thanksgiving. Giants be hosting the Giants in the opener. Just enough is enough.
Exactly. And then the only reason I think that the Pats and Chiefs even made this list for me is the fact that it's your first game back, and it's Tom Brady gets the season opener this time, you know. So, but I'm like you, I don't think it's competitive.
No, I don't. Yeah, you know what? To be honest, you didn't bring up a game that might be better than Chiefs Patriots in Week One, and that's Raiders the Titans with two teams who really rose to the occasion last year. The Raiders more so than the Titans that lost their quarterback to injuries late in the year in Mariota and Carr. I mean,
right.
Eventually, this could be the type of game that ends up as the AFC Championship if Tom Brady ever decides to retire. So that's going to be a fun matchup as well in the early slate.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. See, I'm a Titans fan, and I grew up in Nashville most of my life, so I don't want to beat them to death on this. And we will bring them up a little later, so I think that's why I left that one out. But
Okay. Before
we get into the four-game London stretch, which, goodness gracious, what do you think? Week two, the LA Chargers get their first home game. And it's going to be against
basically
the Dolphins.
A hockey arena.
Right, exactly. What do you anticipate that crowd to be like?
I think the crowd for the first game will be really into it. And I know a lot of people bash the Chargers for the joke I just made where they're basically going to play in a 30,000-seat MLS stadium. But I think that helps them here because I think the crowd will be really into it and raucous. And I think they will have, the Charger fans that maybe lived an hour north of San Diego, an hour south of L.A., that kind of deal, they will still get that crowd. And I think because it's not an 80,000-seat stadium, I think the crowd will be rocking. And I actually think, at least early on, until things maybe fall off, you know, the wheels fall off of the Chargers, you will get good home crowds for them.
That's a good point. And I do think the small stadium has a lot to do with it. I mean, you're compacting all these people, you know, next to each other. And even though it's a small crowd, if you pack it out big enough, it can make a lot of noise. But exactly,
and because they'll be closer to the field as well.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think ultimately the San Diego Chargers and the Los Angeles Chargers might be a failure in L.A., but I think early on in that stadium, that'll actually help them.
I mean, kind of what I think. I mean, look at college basketball and Cameron Indoor. I know, obviously, Duke's a high-profile program, but, I mean, they're on the court pretty much, and that's a hectic environment.
Exactly. Total game changer.
Exactly. And, all right, well, speaking of game changer, we got to do the four-game London stretch, which it kind of changes the pace of everything. You know, the Jags are going to be welcome at home because they play there every day, it seems like. But we got Jags-Ravens week three, and then week four you got Saints-Dolphins. Week seven, Cardinals-Rams. Week eight, Vikings-Browns. Now, looking at that and just seeing who's all actually going to London to play, I mean, are they just – do they want this to fail? I mean, do they want people in the U.S. to just not enjoy teams going to London because of who they send over there?
You know, I'm so frustrated by London in so many ways. First of all, you're taking away, obviously, a home date from these teams. And it's not just about the fan bases. It's about the peanut vendors and the guys in the parking lot. There are people losing days' work in America to play these games in London, which drives me crazy to begin with. But, yeah, I mean, it's almost like, you know, there's this whole fight with ESPN and Monday Night Football and feeling like they needed to have better games. And now all of a sudden, you know, we're going to get to the point where we're going to be begging for better games in London. I think what helps them, or what they should continue doing, and I know they're trying to limit this now, and I know at least we get that early on, is the 9:30 a.m. Eastern starts when you're in London are better because at least it gives us fans an extra window, something to, you know, wake up and watch, and these games wouldn't be buried at 1 o'clock. And I know they're trying to maybe phase out the 9:30 start, which I think would be a mistake. I just think the whole thing, they're just throwing whatever they can against the wall with these London games, and it's just not sticking. I mean, the Vikings and Browns at 9:30 a.m. Eastern in Week 8. I'll wake up and throw it on because it's football, but how is that compelling to anybody in London to watch? They're going to sit there and go, why am I watching the Cleveland Browns get train wrecked?
The style of those two teams play anyway kind of puts you to sleep, and now you're telling me to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and watch them play? Come on.
Yeah, and we also haven't configured the whole camera thing out yet in London, where the games seem kind of dark and gloomy on those fields. It just doesn't pop on TV the way the games here in the States do.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we got two other really great matchups in Week 7 and Week 11 involving the Patriots. And one of them, you know, you're taking a home game away from Oakland. That's the Patriots and the Raiders going to New Mexico to play.
Which is criminal.
Yeah, throw that. I mean, if you're going to take them away from home, put them in London. Put a good product over there.
Right, and isn't that kind of a crime? You know, the DA brought this up on the DA show today, and the Raider fan is already losing their team to Vegas in a couple years. So
right. The
big home date, I know they get the Giants and Cowboys in there this year, but still, you get the Patriots. Like, that's the team you're aiming to take down, and you want revenge for the Tuck rule, and, you know, you maybe think this is the year to take down New England, and then you don't even get them in your own home building. Like, that becomes your game in Mexico City. That's criminal to those fans.
Absolutely, and in, like you mentioned, you know, revenge for the Tuck rule. Last year, it felt like Oakland year and Derek Carr goes down late in the season and nobody expected them to win a playoff game after he went down. And now momentum coming back, and you're about to get Marshawn Lynch. Derek Carr is going to come back healthy, and you have to play the Patriots at home, but your home's New Mexico. So I totally get what you're saying.
It just, and last year when they played that game, everybody's sucking oxygen because of the altitude. That's just, that might be more of a disaster than London, to be honest, but I digress.
Week 7, we're going to backtrack a couple of weeks. That was week 11. But week 7, the Super Bowl rematch, Patriots-Falcons. How much fun is that going to be, and how many points do the Patriots have to be down in the fourth quarter before you start to doubt them?
It should be a lot of fun. My only regret with this game, to be honest with you, is I have a feeling the Falcons are kind of going to be in a hangover over the way they lost the Super Bowl and losing Kyle Shanahan in that offense, where I think the Falcons are probably closer to 8-8, 9-7 this year than they are, you know, say 12-4 or whatever they were last year, where I'm wondering, you know, early on, if the Falcons are, say, 2-4 or 3-3, does this game suddenly become non-compelling, where in reality, we could have loved that Super Bowl rematch in week one at Gillette, or maybe got in week two, week three, something like that. And I'm wondering if week 7, we look back and go, okay, yeah, it's the rematch for the Super Bowl, but maybe it's not all that compelling because the Falcons kind of look like doo-doo by that time.
You know, I'm actually right there with you 100%. I actually think the only draw and to that game will be the fact that it's a Super Bowl rematch, and I think they're going to beat that to death. But I don't think whether the Falcons are, what, 5-1 or by that time, or 2-3, if they have a losing record, whatever, I still think the Patriots go in there and kind of take care of business, show them the real Patriots for four quarters.
Sure. I just don't get when you have an opportunity, because it's so rare when, I mean, because the Super Bowl winner wins and they only have their 8 teams that they could choose from to play the Thursday night game, and we got it last year with Denver, Carolina. If it happens to fall in a year where you could do the Super Bowl rematch, I don't understand why you wouldn't do it.
Exactly. You're exactly right. All right, we're going to get into something else. We did talk the 4-game London stretch. There is something, believe it or not, worse than going to London, and that's playing on Thursday night. And are there any good-looking Thursday night games on paper? I mean, to me, it looked like...
Other than the obvious opener, well, I'll say this. The one thing I liked about Thursday night, how they configured this, because they hadn't done this the past couple of years, no Jaguars, no Browns on Thursday night. You know, the Patriots have to double up. Washington has to double up. So they kind of helped the Thursday night schedule by default by not sticking us with a Jaguar or a Brown game at any point.
Yeah, that is a good point. I didn't really notice that. But, well, usually when the Jaguars play on Thursday night, they're playing the Titans. I think they've done that a couple times on Color Rush, so I've been excited about that. But I definitely see what you're saying as far as other standpoints. I'm that Titans fan that understands that they don't run the NFL by any stretch of the imagination, so I don't expect anybody to get up for a Titans game or a Jags game other than those particular fan bases. But
right, but look at I'll give you this. Look at week 5. You want a good Thursday night game? How about the Patriots going into Tampa Bay to take on Jameis and the Buccaneers?
Oh, the hard knock Bucs.
That is the potential for a good game, because the Bucs, you know, even if the Bucs don't make the playoffs this year, week 5, they should still be a really good story, having the whole hard knocks thing follow them around. New England going on the road, hot weather on a Thursday night. I think that's actually an interesting Thursday night game.
Anything involving, you know, Jameis Winston in the spotlight is exciting. I mean, he's just a fun guy. He's got that killer instinct, but also when he opens his mouth, you got to have a pen ready. So that'll be fun. But all right, Sunday night football games. There are quite a few on paper great looking Sunday night football games, and I want you to give me. I'm going to rattle off a few, but I want you to give me your 3 best. You got Green Bay at Atlanta. You got the Giants at Dallas. Obviously, I'm sure you're crossing that off your list. You got Raiders at Washington. Atlanta at New England, Philly at Dallas, New England at Denver, Green Bay at Pittsburgh, Dallas at Oakland, or Seattle at Dallas at the week 16.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first one for me, late in the season, Dallas at Oakland is my favorite Sunday night game going into the year, because I think the Raiders will be very much in it, and I think Dallas is going to be in a dogfight with the Giants of the NFC East late. And I think two classic franchises like that, two really good young quarterbacks, prime time, black hole rocking. I think that'll be my favorite Sunday night game of the year in December. And for me, number 2, how about the Packers at Steelers? Very intriguing. Two powerhouses, you know, on each side of the conference. That also, I believe, is on Thanksgiving weekend. So you'll have, you know, your full slate of football Thursday and then all day Sunday. And I think you actually get a really good game in that spot. And then I guess I got to... It's kind of funny. I'm going to rank this as number 3, but I ranked it as number 2 in the openers. It's still going to be Giants-Cowboys because they played two of the most classic games of the year last year. So how do I let him out? I just wish we could get that Sunday night game, not in week one.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I just wish it wasn't so repetitive. But I remember 2 years ago, it came down to the, with 11 seconds left and a Jason Witten touchdown. So, I mean, it's still a good matchup.
I was there. You don't got to remind me. I made that trek all the way to Big D for that. That was brutal.
Oh, man. Well, we got for me, I really like the Dallas-Oakland game. That sticks out mainly because that's the Oakland's last home game of the year.
Right, and they still could come back to Oakland a year after, but there's no guarantees at this point.
Exactly. So that potentially, like you mentioned, could be their last home game in Oakland, period. So that definitely has a lot of draw. Seattle at Dallas is really interesting to me, and I put that up there. And also the other one, I'm with you with Green Bay and Pittsburgh. You know, week 12, that's if they're both having a down season, that's usually when they both turn it around anyway, so around there. So
exactly. You know, one of those teams will be good. It's funny, too, because they have the whole flex schedule with Sunday night, and then you look at all these Sunday night games, and you go, how are they going to flex out of any of these? But, you know, at some point, one of these teams will be a stinker, and they'll get right. They'll get out of it.
All right, before I let you go, we got to tackle Monday Night Football. Okay. I want your best Monday Night Football game on paper and your worst Monday Night Football game on paper.
Ooh, okay. Well, let me do one more. Okay, you know what? I got my worst one, I think. And only because I have a feeling both of these teams will be letdowns, and I think ESPN's banking on them both to be good. And that is the Dolphins at the Panthers in Week 10.
Ooh.
Okay, everybody just assumes Carolina's going to bounce back. I'm not so sure of that. I think this is Tampa Bay's year in that division. And I think Carolina's staring 8-8 in the face. And all of a sudden now, I'm supposed to buy that. I know Gates is a good coach. But the Dolphins are just going to rattle off another 10-win season. I think Week 10, we're looking at, you know, two teams that could be, you know, in that 5-4, 4-5 range where it's just so blah. And you don't want to get up for it, especially coming off a Sunday night that'll have the Patriots and the Broncos involved. And my favorite Monday night game, I guess, would have to be the Broncos at the Chiefs. And the reason I'm making it my favorite Monday night game is, scan the schedule, and that's Week 8. That is the one Monday night that ESPN has to be smiling year to year because they got a better matchup than, in my opinion, NBC got with Sunday night football. I know, obviously, ESPN was barking and worrying about all that. You got the Steelers at the Lions on Sunday night football that week, Broncos at Chiefs on Monday night. Give me the Monday night matchup over the Sunday night. So by default, that's my favorite Monday night matchup of the year.
Well, those are two great games. Now, your worst Monday night game was on my list until I saw another one. And I'm just going straight off face value and what I think everybody else will feel as well. And I went with Colts at Tennessee. Now, I'll get up for that game for sure. Tennessee on Monday, I'm so excited they get a Monday night game. But I can see why that could be one of the worst Monday night games of the schedule. But like you said, Dolphins, Panthers, the more you talk about it, the more that's just pulling at me.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I know you're trying not to be a homer with the Titans stuff. That's an exciting football team with an exciting young quarterback. Give
Absolutely.
Me them over watching Carolina or Miami at this point. I think Tennessee's in for big things this year, and if they can go play Andrew Luck in primetime, I'm all for that.
And at home, too, so that helps their case. But my best Monday night game on paper, even though I feel like me and you talked, they could be down a little bit, I really like Atlanta at Seattle based on how they competed against each other last year.
Good point. I overlooked that a little bit. Absolutely. Because that was a classic regular season game. And then obviously the postseason was a little less than exciting than the regular season game. But yeah, that, you know, two great matchups. Why not go watch that again at prime time?
All right. Now, the last one before we let you go, talk about the just one of the greatest sports days ever. One of the best times to ever watch a football game. Run us through that Thanksgiving schedule.
Okay. Thanksgiving, I'm a little disappointed compared to past years. Number one, we get the Vikings at Lions again, which is fine because bowls should be very competitive in the NFC North, but we saw it last year. Like we're talking about the Giants-Cowboys stuff, it's just disappointing. Like, I don't need to see the same 12:30 Lions game versus the same team. You could have rotated the Packers back in the mix or, you know, anybody of that kind. Secondly, the Cowboys, always compelling. It's always fun to root against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, but we get the Chargers, and that just smells to me like the NFL trying to sell that L.A. thing one more time while everybody eats their turkey on Thanksgiving and just get so many L.A. references with the Chargers in because they went away from having an AFC team playing on Thanksgiving the last 3 years or so. And obviously I'm a Giant fan, so I love the Giants at the Redskins on the night game. I think that's, you know, good division football. But the Redskins kind of seem like a mess right now. And, you know, not for nothing with the whole name-changing thing and a holiday surrounded by pilgrims and Indians, should the Redskins be rewarded with hosting a Thanksgiving game?
That's a good point. But I expect that crowd to be up, though. I mean, it is their first ever home game on Thanksgiving, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, and they'll be up, and they're playing the rival Giants. That's the best game, I think, of the three that day.
Absolutely.
But top to bottom, it just kind of seems like a blast Thanksgiving schedule from what we usually get. And I think just the Chargers into Dallas really sinks it for me, and the non-creativity of having the same Lion-Viking game from last year.
It's a great point. Sean, I really appreciate you coming on the show. If I hadn't already followed you before the show on Twitter, I would definitely be pressing that follow button again. I definitely appreciate it. We'll get in contact later this season and have you on again, buddy.
Sounds good. Take care, bro. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, buddy. See ya. Sean Mraz, CBS, DH producer. That was fun. I just got the vibe when I was getting that one ready that the Eagles are playing so-and-so week seven. How does that look? No, you got to get the rank this game. Give me the best Monday night game. It's a guy who loves the NFL schedules. You got to get the ranking system going on in there. That was a lot of fun. All right, guys, coming up next, we're going to take a quick break, but coming up next, we got Josh Ward, the SEC insider. We're going to talk about three other SEC spring games coming up, maybe some off-field SEC player issues, ex-SEC player issues. And then we'll close the show out in the segment after that and get you ready for a Bama baseball doubleheader. All that's coming up next. This is the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039. The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. WUMP. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
Came across a tweet today from Jim Coburn at Jim Metrics. His bio reads, follow for work and age, athletic and production, analytics and football. My spreadsheet is bigger than yours. Draft-based diet. Listen, analytics are great. Statistics are fun. But Jim tweets, Reuben Foster was average on film to me. Nobody listened. Then his production data came back as an average linebacker. Nobody listened. Well, I'm listening, Jim. You haven't given me anything that makes any sense. Sabermetrics and analytics and statistics all have their place in sports. They can be great when used properly. But don't tell me a guy was average on film based on a spreadsheet of data that you got back. Reuben Foster is an elite linebacker and an elite talent, and there's no saber metric that can convince me different.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
You'll hear a doubleheader of Crimson Tide baseball in Starkville against Mississippi State, and all that starts right here on The Ump at 3:55 p.m. Roll Tide.
The only way to go is in a Bankston Motor Home.
Summer is coming, and Bankston Motor Homes has the largest selection of family-sized RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
Make this a summer to remember with a new fifth wheel like the Dutchman Denali 280 LBS for only $348 a month with 10% down. This spacious double slide model sleeps 9 with a loft bunk plus 2 more bunks and a front bedroom. You'll feel right at home with a full-size kitchen, oversized dinette, and entertainment center. Plus, the outdoor kitchen makes open-air cooking a breeze.
The only way to go.
Bankston has the largest selection in the Southeast. Learn more about the Dutchman Denali 280 LBS for only $348 per month and low 5.99% APR with approved credit online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston Motor Home.
5 locations are at BankstonMotorHomes.com.
Some of the best people in the boat business have been around for a while, like Bucks Island, in business since 1948, Crest Pontoons since 1957, and Mercury going on 75 years. They know a few things about boats.
Call Bucks at 1-800-I'M-READY.
Bucks Island has over 200 boats in stock.
Right now, get a $1,000 rebate off all Crest 2016 model year pontoons.
Crest Pontoons powered by Mercury come with a 5-year warranty. Call 1-800-I-AM-READY in Southside, Alabama.
Well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Spring is in, the sales are crazy, and we wanted to do a little something special for all our favorite ladies. Goodies is having our customer appreciation sale, and it's a celebration of everything you love. More deals, more brands, and more doorbusters. Starting this Thursday, score 60% off doorbusters on styles for the whole family and home goods too. Plus, we have fresh deals every day with even more new looks arriving monthly. Goodies. What will new bring out in you? Goodies is part of our Sage family. Offer exclusions apply.
Weather is sponsored by Lowe's. Stop into Lowe's Spring Black Friday event for Valspar paint and primer starting at a new lower price of $19.98. Offer valid through 5/1. U.S. only. See store for details.
A warm day with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. A few scattered storms are possible this afternoon or this evening. Those storms will likely be strong where they form. The high today, 84. Tonight's low, 62. Tomorrow, some sunshine during the morning. More strong storms by mid to late afternoon. The high at 79. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
Everybody, Tom Abraham Show. Cover just about everything you'd want to cover. I mean, what else do you want? We got some exciting NHL playoff news going on in here. The NBA playoff, history in the NBA, history in the NHL. We broke down Georgia spring game with Anthony Dasher. We broke down the NFL's schedule with Sean Mraz. The problem with that is, there's four spring games this weekend. We only covered one. So we got to get the news from the other spring games going on and the news around the SEC. Of course, Lane Kiffin opened his mouth again, his puffy, puffy mouth. So we got to get all that covered. And Josh Ward's the guy to help me do that. Josh, welcome in. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for coming on, man. Even though he's not in the SEC anymore, anytime Lane Kiffin opens his mouth, I mean, somebody's got to cover it, right?
It's probably going to get as much coverage. I'm sure it's going to get as much coverage as any other coach. Perhaps it tops everybody. If Nick Saban speaks, then you're going to see that or hear that. Same with probably Urban Meyer and Dabo Swinney. But there aren't many, I think, that are going to top Lane Kiffin for sure.
And the trim with those other guys is they're getting that coverage because of the respect they have of being good coaches. Lane, I don't think, falls under that category.
No, I mean, I think he's a good football coach.
Sure.
Can he run a big-time football program, or any program for that matter, is to be determined. That's why he's at Florida Atlantic, because he's trying to show that he can have success and not cause problems at a program. And if that's the case, then a higher-level job might go his way. But because of his history, I think that kept him from being able to get certainly high-level jobs, even maybe a job like Houston. And the message was clear: go to Florida Atlantic, don't have any problems, go win games, and then maybe you'll get an opportunity. And
yeah,
I think there's still a lot of questions about whether that opportunity is really going to come.
Absolutely. And I'm right there with you. And now, I'm not surprised that he adapted some of Nick Saban's coaching tactics. I mean, why not? He even said that. Why not? I mean, why not copy some of that? It's Nick Saban. But the more surprising thing to me than copying Nick Saban is, I mean, Puffy Lane. I mean, have you seen a picture of this guy lately? How do you move somewhere like Florida and gain that much weight?
You know, I don't know. He's a little older now. Now, he's not old, but he's a few years older. Maybe it's more difficult. You know, when he was at Knoxville, Lane would run from stop to stop, and I mean that literally. Would run from when practice was over, run inside to the indoor complex. So I don't know if any habits have changed.
Well, it looks like he's running to the Little Debbie rack right now. But anyway, I did cover the Georgia spring game a little bit earlier, but we got four spring games this weekend. Other than Alabama, out of LSU, Georgia, and Tennessee, do you see any legitimate quarterback competition? I know Tennessee, obviously, but what about Georgia and LSU? I know there have been talks about Jake Fromm and Eason, and then does Etling have any competition over there?
I think Danny Etling's going to be the guy at LSU, and all indications this spring have been that he's clearly held the lead What level can he reach? I mean, you look at the success that Nate Peterman had at Pittsburgh, and now he's a pretty well thought of draft prospect. Now, he also worked with multiple coaches there and at that position. Nate Peterman did the last couple of years at Pitt with Jim Chaney before he went to Georgia. I wouldn't expect that kind of transition for Danny Etling, but things could be better. And if they do get better quarterback play, LSU has a better chance to win at a higher level, kind of where things are expected to be. But it just in terms of the quarterback position itself, I think Danny Etling's going to be the guy at LSU. And I think Jacob Eason is going to be the starting quarterback at Georgia. That doesn't mean that Fromm doesn't have legitimate SEC talent. I think he does. But there is a difference to me in being your second year or beyond in an SEC program versus being a true freshman, which is what Fromm will be this fall. But Fromm has ability, and if Jacob Eason doesn't take that big step into his sophomore season, and if there are any issues early, then you might hear some chatter. But at the start of the year, I would think that it's Jacob Eason.
Yeah, I would assume that. I'm going to stick with LSU for a second. All four of their losses last year, their opponents scored under 20 points. Is the difference between those a four-loss team and maybe a two-loss team, is that strictly like on Danny Etling quarterback related, or does that go with the transition between head coaches and so on and so forth, some inconsistencies?
Well, it starts with quarterback, but it goes across the board. Do they get good enough offensive line play? LSU will still be running the football a lot. Guys is a guy that now takes over as the leading running back in that backfield with Leonard Fournette gone, and that'll be the biggest, I'd say, emphasis for what LSU wants to do offensively. But sure, better quarterback play over the last couple of years would have meant more offensive production for LSU. And I would also say better direction with the offense. So that's what Matt Canada is being brought in. With Brandon Harris, he was a guy with talent, and what happens with him next? Does he have success elsewhere? And if that's the case, you might look back at Les Miles and Cam Cameron and what they were doing with that offense. But sure, if you want to have great production, then you're going to have at least really good quarterback play.
Right. Well, you got Etling. You said Etling probably going to be the guy as far as, just looking at it right now. And then you've got Darius Geis coming back. I mean, Darius Geis, obviously a huge piece to what LSU is supposed to be doing. What else, what other position needs to step up around Etling in the running game for them to move forward from being a four-loss team last year?
Well, I mean, it goes across the board. That's why I mentioned the offensive line, too. They've got guys there that if they can push up front and they can protect, a big issue you have in that division, the SEC West, is you go up against some elite players up front. Now, some are leaving, Miles Garrett and guys at Alabama that are moving on, Jonathan Allen, Tim Williams, but it is a next man up situation at Alabama, so get ready for Daron Payne and Deshaun Hand next. So you're always going to have a Carl Lawson's gone at Auburn. But you're always going to have a difficult time with the pass rushers you have to face in that division, really across the board in the SEC. So I would say the offensive line will continue to be a big focus. I think that's maybe been a factor in quarterback play across the league. I'm not saying guys would have been all American level talents, but with production, but better offensive line play would help some quarterbacks around the league. But that's really difficult a lot of times because of the amount of defensive talent that you face every single year. This year, I'm sure, will be close to that. Although you look at the draft, there are a lot of big-time talent that are leaving the SEC. You mentioned Jonathan Allen, Miles Garrett, Derek Barnett at Tennessee, Charles Harris at Missouri. There are a lot that are moving on.
That's a great point. And you mentioned, you did say quarterbacks across the board. And now last year, minus Alabama, the SEC was just jumbled up with four lost teams or worse. Now, from what you've seen across the board with those quarterbacks so far, I understand that other positions like the offensive line need to step up to help those guys out. But strictly what you've seen from quarterbacks across the board, how much hope does that give you coming into the next season that maybe we'll have a clear-cut second, clear-cut third best team, or maybe that jumbled up of next best teams comes because of great quarterback play and not, they're not down because of that position?
I think quarterback play could be on the rise in the league because of some of these young talented players we've talked about. Jalen Hurts enters his second year with a lot more experience at Alabama, and that quarterback room is probably more talented now at Alabama. Not that it's not that it's really like talent, but you have Jalen Hurts as a sophomore. Mentioned Jacob Eason, Florida. If Felipe Franks can really if he can be the guy, the potential for him is really impressive. At Auburn, certainly with Jarrett Stidham. I mean, that he was a former highly touted recruit and played well as a freshman at Baylor and has looked good this spring. All indications are that he can be really good. And then Drew Locke at Missouri, I mean, that's a team that's at the bottom of the East, but still has a lot of hope offensively because of Locke and then some other players around him. I think there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about that position in the SEC over the next year or two. Bentley at South Carolina, Tennessee likes its quarterbacks that are competing, Jay Patterson at Ole Miss. So I just, I ran through a lot of names there that could be really good players in the league. Now, a lot of those guys we're talking about potential, not production to this point. Fitzgerald at Mississippi State, he is a guy that has produced. So there's a real reason to be optimistic about what that position could become pretty soon in the SEC.
Well, you mentioned the quarterback competition down there in Knoxville. Talk about what's going on in that backfield altogether. Is the competition that's going on over there, do you expect to see anybody pull away for that position tomorrow in the spring game, or does that go well into the summer?
I don't know if there will be a for sure starter at Tennessee by the opener. That's one of the closest competitions, I would say, in the SEC right now. There's no way that there's a starter named at the end of the spring. Maybe somebody has a better day in their spring game, but there's not a chance other than with an injury that Tennessee will name a starter. They have a guy who's a rising junior in Quentin Dormady who's only played a little bit behind Josh Dobbs, and then Jarrett Garantano, who was a highly touted player that redshirted last year. That's a legitimate competition that I think will go all the way through August camp. And when Tennessee opens the season against Georgia Tech, I think even though a starter at some point has to be named, even if it's day of, I think there's a good chance, and I could change my mind between now and September 4th, but I think there's a real chance that both of those quarterbacks play and they use the regular season to determine which quarterback is the best option for the offense.
Okay, well, speaking of, kind of related to Tennessee, is there any coach's seat you anticipate to be hot, to maybe middle of the season, definitely towards the end of the season?
Yeah, I think there are a few that you could say that about in the SEC. In the Western Division, Arkansas and Brett Bielema, the end of last season, and overall, if you look at the record, it's not bad, but it's not good to great, which is probably what they were hoping for with Brett Bielema. Now it's a division where it's so difficult, but Brett Bielema at Arkansas, Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M as a $5 million coach for the last few years, and the way seasons have started strong and ended not strong at all, that I would say is something that puts pressure on Kevin Sumlin heading into the season, even though overall he has a solid record at A&M. And then Butch Jones at Tennessee, it's a very important year for him entering his fifth season after having overall quality seasons, back-to-back top 25 years at Tennessee, but this past year falling short of expectations. Now, all of that is, I think that in itself has led to some pressure from Tennessee fans, right. And now there's a new athletic director, so you wonder what he thinks, plus the roster changeover. So I think those coaches, you wonder what is their future in the SEC. And then Ed Orgeron's he's the new coach. You're spending a lot of money on the coordinators that are working for him. With that position, I think there's always pressure. Not saying that he's on a hot seat this year, but they will expect big things right away, I'd say, at LSU.
Josh Ward, SEC Insider, with us. All right, let's move on to Alabama now. Your biggest question mark you have going into the Bama spring game, if any?
The biggest question I probably have about them is just those guys that have to step up and replace key players up front, as well as somebody like Marlon Humphrey. Just because we always expect guys to in the next man up situation perform, and I would bet on them doing so at Alabama. Let's still see if that's the case. I don't have a lot of question at quarterback. I mean, I should bring that up just because Jalen Hurts will come back as a sophomore. Is he a better passer? You have a new offensive coordinator. So I'm sure that's an obvious question to everybody. But I would just say, replacing Jonathan Allen and Dalvin Tomlinson probably doesn't get talked about a lot enough. Tim Williams, Reuben Foster, those are elite players that have to be replaced. I would bet on Alabama being fine, but sometimes that could be easier said than done. So what do the guys look like that are up next to build fill those roles left by these first, second-round picks.
Absolutely. And speaking of, you did mention Reuben Foster. Some of the biggest storylines coming out of Alabama are some of their former players, and one of them was Reuben Foster. It coming out yesterday that he failed a drug test at the NFL Combine, and we all know that he left the Combine with a dispute with a hospital worker. Now, does that do anything to his draft potential? I know people like Mel Kiper had him going as high as, I think, top five.
Yeah, it doesn't help. When you have off-field concerns, you have health concerns, the ability to hold up, that's something that's going to, I'd say, raise several red flags for NFL teams. Now, it could turn into a value pick if he flips and these are issues of the past, not the future. It could turn into a big value. But, yeah, I'd say over the last several weeks, there aren't too many players that have hurt their stock more, especially considering how high it was, than Reuben Foster. Now, it takes only one team to say, look, we know those issues are there, but we also see an incredible amount of talent. Just it does take one team to take a shot on you, but all of these issues could cause several teams to say, we'll take a shot on you, but not as high as we would have.
Right, absolutely. And now, something that I still don't know too much about it, I don't know if you've heard anything else, as soon as right before this interview, I still didn't find anything else out. Is there any more news about Cyrus Quanjo and what happened? What's going on over there?
No, I mean, you wonder what's going on in his personal life, but yeah, that's a scary situation. I mean, the headline, well, I mean, let's be honest, it reads kind of funny, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, that also tells you there's something very real going on in his life behind the scenes that we probably didn't know about. So, that, I mean, again, the headline, I recognize it's going to get a lot of attention and get shared and goes viral, and it comes across as pretty funny, but it also makes me hope that everything gets worked out behind the scenes completely away from football.
Yeah, you and me both. Josh Ward, SEC Insider. Man, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, you got it.
Have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you. That was Josh Ward. Great, great job. SEC Insider. He really helped us cover the rest of the spring. We had Georgia earlier with Anthony Dasher. He kind of reiterated what's going on over there and backed up what Anthony had said. Gave us an inside look on Bama on the field and a couple ex-Bama players off the field. LSU broke down some Tennessee quarterback competition. What else do you want on a football Friday? I mean, that's your guy. Josh Ward, SEC Insider, coming in and really coming on strong. So that was great. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to set you up for Bama baseball and end the show. It's a short show, but it was a good show. And I hope that you guys thought the same, because that's what I thought. I had a wonderful time, and we're going to discuss that coming up next and set you guys up for some great NBA action tonight. And that's coming up next on the Tom Abraham Show, 730, 1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care.
It's almost simulate, I guess, you know, the cuts with Jesus on the hand and the feet. Reports about the...
All right, Tide fans, listen up, because your next chance to hear Alabama baseball will be Thursday as the Tide come back home to Sewell Thomas Stadium to take on the LSU Tigers. Coverage starts at 6:25 p.m. all right here on the Roll Tide.
Today, there are over 47 million Ford vehicles on the road, rolling on over 188 million tires. That's a lot of rubber to trust to anyone other than a hardworking specialist at Ford Service. No one knows your Ford better than Ford and Ford Service.
Get a $140 rebate by mail on 4 select tires when you use the Ford Service credit card at the Big Tire event. Subject to credit approval, rebate by prepaid debit card. Other tire manufacturer rebate or offer cannot be combined with Ford Service credit card rebate or offer. See your participating Ford dealer for details through 6/30/17.
The only way to go is in a Bankston Motor Home.
Summer is coming, and Bankston Motorhomes has the largest selection of family-sized RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
Make this a summer to remember with a new travel trailer like the Aspen Trail 2810 BHS for only $179 per month with 10% down. This dual-entry trailer sleeps 10 with corner double bunks and a front queen bedroom. There's plenty of space with a slide-out dinette and sofa area, full kitchen, plus entertainment center. In addition, this model has a full bath with an outside entrance for extra convenience.
The only way to go.
Bankston has the largest selection in the Southeast. Learn more about the Aspen Trail 2810 BHS for only $179 per month and low 6.5% APR with approved credit online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Five locations are at BankstonMotorHomes.com.
Stop into Lowe's, where you'll find big savings on those projects popping up on your to-do list. Tackle your turf by bringing home a new John Deere D100 Series riding lawnmower and get a $150 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate to use later. And for 5 days only, get your garden off to a tasty start with Bonnie vegetable plants, 4 for $12. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. John Deere offer valid 419 through 51. Exclusions apply. Plan offer valid 420 through 424 while supplies last. Color and selection vary by location. U.S. only. See store for details.
Some of the best people in the boat business have been around for a while, like Bucks Island, in business since 1948, Crest Pontoons since 1957, and Mercury, going on 75 years. They know a few things about boats.
Call Bucks at 1-800-I'M-READY.
Bucks Island has over 200 boats in stock.
Right now, get a $1,000 rebate off all Crest 2016 model year pontoons.
Crest Pontoons powered by Mercury come with a 5-year warranty. Call 1-800-I'M-READY in Southside, Alabama.
Want to know the secret to success, kid? One thing, the Grainger catalog and Grainger.com. Okay, that's two things. Oh, and Grainger's got mobile apps. Those sure are convenient. Three things to succeed. Hey, and 1-800-GRAINGER. I know that number by heart. Four things. There's hundreds of branches, too. Like I said, the one secret to keep this place running smoothly is Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Today, there are over 47 million Ford vehicles on the road, rolling on over 188 million tires. That's a lot of rubber to trust to anyone other than a hardworking specialist at Ford Service. No one knows your Ford better than Ford and Ford Service.
Get a $140 rebate by mail on 4 select tires when you use the Ford Service credit card at the Big Tire event. Subject to credit approval, rebate by prepaid debit card. Other tire manufacturer rebate or offer cannot be combined with Ford Service credit card rebate or offer. See your participating Ford dealer for details through 6/30/17.
Another Target run receipt reading.
Okay, what's the report? Whoa, get a load of this. I got a 75-ounce bottle of Tide for $8.99. Bright whites and savings delights for the win. And goldfish for $1.99. Doesn't get much better than that. This one's for the fam. You know, school lunches. And of course, moi. Nice work, little receipt. I call that a Target run and done.
Get your receipt reading savings at Target. Pricing may vary.
To buy Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
A warm day with a mixture of clouds and sunshine. A few scattered storms are possible this afternoon or this evening. Those storms will likely be strong where they form. The high today, 84. Tonight's low, 62. Tomorrow, some sunshine during the morning. More strong storms by mid to late afternoon. The high at 79. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Hey, it's our time. Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867. Here's Tom Abraham.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Last segment of the Tom Abraham Show on a Football Friday. I'm going to set you guys up for a great weekend, and that's going to start with a baseball doubleheader, your Alabama Crimson Tide. So get fired up about that, and I'm going to tell you guys what you guys can catch on TV tonight, what you should be watching on TV tonight, and it's all sports-related, guys, because that's pretty much all the time I have. That's all I have time for. I wake up in the mornings. I'm a kind of a late guy. I go to sleep. I got a couple shows on TV I watch. That's pretty much it. And I usually watch them after they come on. I don't watch them live on TV. I like the new Prison Break. I watch that. I watch Gotham. And that doesn't come back on until next week. And I'm a Game of Thrones guy, which doesn't come on until the summertime. So all of my shows aren't really right available right now. I mean, I'm caught up on Prison Break. So what I do is I wake up in the morning. I prepare myself for the show. Drive an hour to work, get ready for the show, get my stuff ready, my minutia ready, and then I go home and watch whatever sports on TV that night. And then sometimes if I have enough time with the fiance, Miss Jennifer, we do watch a movie. So I'm not going to tell you what's on TV tonight other than sports. I mean, come on. You got Toronto at Washington in hockey, and that series is tied at 2-2. So this is a pivotal game for both teams, a very pivotal game five. And Boston at Ottawa is trying to avoid getting closed out. They're down 3-1 to the Senators right now. And if you're not a hockey guy, which, you know, I at least give it a shot. At least give the hockey playoffs a shot. I'm telling you, I'm not a hockey guy. I'm just trying now to get into it. And the home atmospheres of these games are incredible. I'm telling you. But if you're like me and you're going to be paying attention mainly to the NBA tonight, you got to start with Boston. Well, you have to start with Boston. It's the first game on. Boston at Chicago, no Rajon Rondo. You know how big that is for them? He broke his thumb. Now, this is a guy, if he can't play through a broken thumb, it's got to be bad to where he can't hold a basketball. It's got to be bad enough because this is a guy who, when he was in Boston, played 12 minutes, 12 game time minutes with a torn ACL. He tore his ACL and played 12 minutes. That's one of the toughest guys in the NBA. And he's averaging 11.5 points and 10 assists in these two games. I still argue the best vision in the NBA. LeBron probably beats him out. Top three, easy. Best vision out there. And then you got, after that, you got Houston going to Oklahoma City. Now, this game's going to be exciting. Oklahoma City at home, that crowd's going to be incredible. It's going to be great. Don't get me wrong, but I think Oklahoma City lost their chance. I think they lost their chance to get back in this series. Well, they're down 2-0. They have a chance to hold home court. Sure, I don't think they do that because of how they lost game two. You have Russell Westbrook playing out of his mind going into the fourth quarter, and then he misses 14 shots. It's not just that he missed 14 shots. It's that he didn't get his teammates involved. Instead of giving the ball to your teammates, oh, they know I'm going to take that shot. They know that's who I am. That's how I've been all year. It's the playoffs, Russ. If there's a good shot, obviously you take it, which you took some good shots late in that game. For normal people, I mean, wide open threes are good shots for anybody else. You're not a great three-point shooter. You're not. You never have been. But not just that. You're taking contested, awful shots. You're reckless with the ball. Now, I used to think, and it has held up this season, Russ has been that reckless kind of player, but late in the game, those bad shots fall for Russ because that's just who he is. It's going to go for him late in the game. It wasn't there late in that game, and he kept going for it. And that was the bad move. You got to trust some of your teammates. But you trust some of your teammates, you win that game, and you come home tied 1-1, have a chance to take a 2-1 series lead. Now you're fighting just to tie it up at 2-2, leaving home. You have to win game one. I don't think that happens. I think it's a close game. I think Rockets pull away in the fourth quarter. OKC might even have a double-digit lead in this game again. Rockets are going to win this game. OKC might win game four at home. They get beat in five at worst for Houston. And I'm pulling for OKC. But you can't let the momentum of that game is just, after you lose a game like that, you're deflated. You're hurt. Before I let you guys go, I didn't do it at the beginning of the show. Before we get off here, I do have a Tony Mac minutia for you. I don't have the music, but I got the minutia. So we're going to end on that and set you up for a Bama doubleheader. Today in 1987, the Brewers finally lose their first game after starting 13-0. That is an American League record. 1995, the Boston Celtics play their last game in the Boston Garden, obviously now playing the TD Garden, lost 98-92 to the Knicks. 1996, Bulls win their 72nd game. And the most interesting part about that 72nd game that they won is I figured it was their last win of the season. No, they lost two after that. They were 72-8 and then lost their final two games. And then today in 2001, Michael Vick was drafted first overall. Birthdays today. 1982, on this day, Cadillac Williams was born. He's turning 35 today. And then 1980, Tony Romo was born, celebrating his 37th birthday. Guys, I really hope you enjoyed the show. I enjoyed doing it. It's fun living out your dream. I hope you guys have a great weekend. And it all starts with Bama Baseball, a doubleheader next. for the Tom Abraham Show. I'm Tony Mack. I've been your host today. Thank you, guys. And again, have a great weekend. This is 730-1039 The Ump. Peace.
We interrupt your program for a special presentation of live play-by-play action on The Ump. Crimson Tide Baseball is on your dial now. First pitch is coming up. On the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
First pitch, fly ball, deep left field. It is gone.
This is Alabama Crimson Tide Baseball, presented by Coke Zero. Real Coca-Cola taste, zero calories. Golden Flake, the flavor of the South, and the official snack of the Crimson Tide for over 50 years. Cook's Pest Control and the Centricon System, the unbeatable combination for termite protection. Also brought to you by Regions Bank, proud partner of the Crimson Tide and the official bank of the Southeastern Conference. Southern Ale House, eat Southern, drink Southern, be Southern. Southern Ale House. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. Shop ChooseNissan.com. Innovation that excites. Also by Winn-Dixie, the official supermarket of the Crimson Tide and proudly serving the Southeast since 1925. And by Bud Light. With Bud Light, you're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships. Crimson Tide Baseball is on the air. Here's Lee Tracy and Chris Stewart.
Bright sunshine at the moment at Duty Noble Field, Polk Dement Stadium. It's not expected to be that way tomorrow, and that's why we're going to play games 2 and 3 of our weekend series on a Friday. Welcome, everybody, to Starkville, along with Lee Tracy and our studio engineer, Jerry Kelly. I'm Chris Stewart. Last night in Game 1, the Crimson Tide dropped a 6-5 decision to the 11th-ranked Bulldogs of Mississippi State. Dylan Duarte tagged with the loss. Connor Pilkington got the win, and Spencer Price worked the final two-thirds of an inning, stranding the game-tying and potentially go-ahead runs on base for Alabama as he picked up save number 14 on the year. Today, Alabama will turn to a right-hander. Senior Nick Eicholtz trying to pick up a win for Alabama. He's 1-0 on the year with an ERA at 5.15. He'll face a fellow right-hander in Cole Gordon. The sophomore is 2-0 with an ERA at 4.18. Our pregame coverage of Alabama baseball is brought to you by Cook's Pest Control and the Centricon System. Discover how affordable it is to upgrade to the proven termite protection of the Centricon System by calling Cook's Pest Control for a free evaluation. We'll take a look at the starting lineups, and we'll have our first pitch when we come back here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
It's warming up around Huntsville. That means it's time to get out and ride in a Polaris off-road vehicle. And the best time to buy is during the Polaris Spring Sales Event. You'll find great financing, plus rebates up to $2,000. You'll even get a free 2-year extended warranty on any full-size Ranger or any Sportsman 450 or 570 ATV. See your Polaris dealer now.
Offer valid through April, May vary by model. No charge for promotional 2-year extended warranty. See dealer for details. Offer vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
Today, all day, come to the Humidor Pipe Shop for the epic Alec Bradley Cigar Show. All Alec Bradley cigars will be 35% off a box. Yep, 35% off a box. Singles will be discounted as well. But at 35% off a box of your favorite Alec Bradley cigars, it's hard not to stock up. Great swag, a grand prize, great prices, so stock up. The Alec Bradley event today at the Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest.
Drop your phone or your iPad and have that dreaded spider web across the screen.
Oh no!
Computer not working right.
Door!
Bring it to the guys at Phone Restore. Most repairs are done in less than an hour. They get you in and out quick. Phone Restore is conveniently located at 900 Bob Wallace Avenue, just behind the Whole Foods and Regions Bank, and Central Park Village Shopping Center, a few doors down from Quizno Subs. Visit Phone Restore for all your smartphone and computer needs. PhoneRestore.com.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kitamix technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at your local retailer today.
Things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
We're in Starkville, Mississippi for Game 2 and ultimately tonight, Game 3 of our weekend series between the Crimson Tide of Alabama and the 11th.